And welcome back inside the cave on this Tuesday morning. And as always, at 7:25, we'll talk with Tom Crawford. Tom, a podcaster and from Fox 47 out of Lansing. Good morning, Tom. We understand you're on the road today.
Yeah, I'm on the road down Michigan City, Indiana. I got to pick up my daughter's dog. She's handing me off from Chicago. She's going to go out west on the West Coast. I'm dog sitting. It's what parents do even when their kids are 30 years old. You know what I mean?
So. don't fumble, Tom, on that handoff.
No, I won't. Dog preservation is the key. So it's good to be out with you and another big victory. This one on the road finally. So lots to talk about.
That's right. The Michigan answered the call as everyone was pointing to this game against Iowa. The Wolverines did very well. Thank you very much. Came away with the victory. And I think some of our questions have been answered.
Yeah, we'll finally go on the road. I mean, I just realized Ohio State hasn't even gone on the road. They played their first five at home before they go to East Lansing on Saturday. So it's good to get on the road. Kinnick Stadium is a tough, tough place. I thought this was a workmanlike win. I thought for the most part, I thought Michigan was outstanding. They got the running game going. Blake Corum was outstanding. I thought J.J. played well. Kind of held the ball too long on that sack that resulted in the field flipping against Michigan. We knew that's the only way Iowa was going to score, guys, was to have a short field, gave them a short field, and they scored. A little dicey there, late third, early fourth. I thought Michigan, you know, they had three consecutive three and outs. It looked like they were shutting things down, getting a little too cozy there. Made it interesting, but the defense held on, and a good win for the Wolverines.
Well, I have to tip my hat or my cap to you, Tom. You didn't get the score exactly right, but you did get the margin right when you predicted last Tuesday. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I had 20-7, and I was sitting at 20-7. That's just kind of the game I envisioned that Michigan would play. I thought they were, you know, I thought they played it pretty tight to the vest, and but, you know, and we knew Iowa's offense was you know, pretty underperforming. But what I didn't like, and I hate to be, you know, when your team's 5-0, you're picking the negatives because you're looking long-term, you're looking national championship potential and things of that nature, Big Ten championship being Ohio State. And what worried me, what concerned me after the game was, Iowa was running that tight end drag play, you know, the old waggle play that Michigan used to play in the early 90s. They couldn't cover that. I thought Junior Colson had a couple times some problems there. They got to fix that. Some things to clean up.
Yeah, I noticed that a couple of times during that game, they were really putting the safety out on an island, and he was in a tough spot. He had to choose.
Yep. Yeah, that was the case. But, everything's about percentages, and they try to keep everything in front of them, and they only gave up one score, and that was a great defensive stand that led to Michigan punting, and then they got it back, and they held them again. They held them twice on fourth down. I thought that defense did a really good job when it really came down to, winning time.
Well, go ahead, Pat.
J.J. McCarthy in the post-game press conference said that, you know, there were some things that he had to clean up as he goes along in his progression as quarterback for Michigan. One of those things is a little better footwork on his part. He talked quite a bit about that. And he also talked about Coach Harbaugh and what he has been adding to his coaching. And any comments on JJ and his performance?
Well, I mean, JJ he's constantly evaluating his performance and trying to figure out how to get better. I mean, this is one of the more grounded sophomores in college that I've ever run into, and that's what excites me as much as his ability. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Jim Harbaugh referred to him as a young Jim Harbaugh, his junior year when he made some mistakes. Some diciness. Yeah, the footwork and obviously, tucking it away and taking the sack, live to play another day. would have helped, you know, on that fumble that was recovered by Donovan Edwards. But I got to tell you guys, the epitome of J.J. McCarthy was a touchdown pass to Donovan Edwards. That was actually a broken play that looked like a designed quarterback sprint out, because that's how talented this kid is. Cade McNamara could not have made that play. We know that. He just threw it on a dime to Donovan. And also, he threw an incredible pass earlier on to Andrew Anthony. He throws his best ball to Andrew Anthony, his fellow sophomore. I think that's going to be a combination of the future. So I really liked what I saw, for the most part, from J.J. McCarthy.
It was good to see Donovan Edwards back on the field. And Jim Harbaugh mentioned the fact that he's trying not to overcoach Donovan. What does that mean, Tom, not overcoaching him?
just letting that natural ability flourish. Sometimes you can over-orchestrate things. I think there's some validity in that. And this kid has won, you know, he's been injured, and he got out there and played, and we know what he can do. And what he does is he threatens the defense and his ability to catch the football and also run the football. I thought he had some good interior runs. And it's, you know, Blake Corum, you know, is a workhorse. We talked about this last week. He's going to get 30 carries, close to him, some of these games. But having Donovan as an alternative on it, that's a great different style of running and style of threat that he poses to defense to complement Blake Corum. I think everybody talks about complementary football. That's complementary running the football between those two guys.
What I guess eventually we'll have to talk about it, the schizophrenic Big Ten. You got three teams that are in the top 10 in the country in the East, and the rest of the league is trying to find their way.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, the West is crazy. I mean, everybody's got one loss except one team. It's just amazing how the West, nobody wants to win it. And, you know, we thought Minnesota was a team, and all of a sudden they're not the team. You know, they got beat at home after, you know, the big win over Michigan State. But in the East, I mean, we're going back to the 10-year war. This is Michigan-Ohio State. Let's be real. Because I really think that Penn State is a step-down model for Michigan-Ohio State. I mean, I saw a little bit, I DVR'd some of their game with Northwestern just to kind of get a little look at them, and they play at a level of competition, so they'll play up to Michigan, but they're not quite as complete, obviously, as Ohio State, and not as complete as Michigan in terms of prowess on both sides of the ball. So I'm feeling good about that. It's going to go down to a couple 11-0s in the final week of the season, guys. We know it.
Well, I'm looking at Michigan's schedule, of course. They have Indiana this coming week. One team that I'm starting to be concerned about is Illinois after their big victory over Wisconsin this last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, in Wisconsin, what a mess that, and Paul Chris getting fired. I mean, my God. I mean, think about it, guys. Five Power Five coaches now are out of a job 5 weeks into the season. I've never, ever heard of that. And Illinois, you blame Illinois for that. They did the final... knock him off his horse to Paul Chris, and Paul Chris is a really good coach, and it surprised a lot of other coaches. So, Wisconsin is not a very good football team, and with Jim Leonard, maybe that'll reignite them, and they can have a decent season. But Illinois is doing it with defense, and that's how you win in football. You got to have a good defense, you got good special teams, and then if your offense is adequate. They have a second-leading rusher in the nation, Chase Brown. They got it going on. And Brett Bielema, I mean, I never thought this was going to happen, that he was going to turn around here too. I'm not saying it's going to move on and they're going to, you know, blaze through and come into Michigan Stadium on November the 19th, ranked in the top 15 or whatever, but still, it's a formidable opponent, and look where that game is positioned. Right before the Ohio State game, senior day for the Wolverines. So that's going to be a critical game.
Well, it seems to me, Tom, the state of college football, I mean, we're getting I think we'll probably set a record this year for in-season firings of head coaches. It's and everyone's kind of gravitating. I mean, I look at Georgia's last two ball games, and they don't look like the number one team in the country to me.
Oh, my word. I mean, we saw what was it, Kent State the week before they struggled. That's a mid-tier MAC team at best. And then this past week in Missouri on the well, I mean, that game came right down to the wire. Georgia pulled that thing off. And Missouri's second worst team in the SEC. Tough league, mind you. But those are the games they dodge the bullet, and then they'll run. They'll go in undefeated, and the SEC will probably get two bids as they typically do. But yeah, it's crazy in college football. I've said this all along. Pat's probably getting tired of me saying it. Ask me after October 15th if Michigan's any good, because I really don't know. I still don't know. I don't think we're going to learn a lot more than Indiana. This is not as good an Indiana team as it's been in the past, although it's on the road, and they've always been tough. But when they play Penn State, after that, around 4 o'clock on October 15th, Pat, you can turn to me and say, okay, how good is Michigan, and I'll give you an answer.
All right, we've got Indiana coming up this week, as you said. What do we have to be looking for from this Indiana team, who is kind of down since the last a few years? They've had pretty good teams, but this year, I think they've lost a lot of players to graduation, lost some coaches on the staff. What do we need to be looking at Indiana?
Well, actually, they're improved. I mean, they're 0-9 in Big Ten play last year. They did lose a lot of players. You're right. It's a funky place to play. Now, here's what I always do: this repeat the history kind of thing. You remember last year, Michigan, after playing all the home games, and they went on the road and they beat Wisconsin. Hey, look, Michigan couldn't win on the road. They can take it on the road. This is a really good team, and we thought that. And they ended up being a great team, obviously. But the following week, they went to Nebraska. You remember what kind of root canal game that was? So potentially, it could be lined up the same way that second road game before coming home to Penn State. It could be a quote-unquote trap game. But Indiana does not have the arsenal that they've had in the past. And, they lost to Nebraska on the road. And Tom Allen's lost some key assistants over the last couple of years, including Mike Hart. So I think Michigan will win this game by double digits, but I don't think it's going to be a 4 or 5 touchdown blowout like Michigan fans probably fantasize for.
Do you think they need to let JJ just go out there and play his own game and let it rip? As there was some discussion about that the last couple of days about McCarthy being kind of held back, doing some of the things that he does best. Do you think that's a comment that holds true?
Well, I don't know, Mike, but I mean, he's had opportunities to hit the long ball going vertical, and he's continuing to have a few overthrows. He's got to get that vertical game down more precise. He's got the flats, really. He can throw that like a baseball in the flats and also on the slants. And he's hitting the tight end. I mean, Scooty's catching some balls. He had, I think, 7 the other day. So, I mean, he's got that down. But, yeah, he's got to hit the big, he's got to go more vertical and maybe the middle third a little further down. I'd like to see him in that regard. But maybe it is just a work in progress, bringing him along and save the best for last. But this is a good opportunity. This is a good defense for him to hone his skills. And the weather's supposed to be dry, so I'm hoping that we might get a 350-yard throwing game from J.J. McCarthy, where there's more verticality to the passing game than it's been in the past.
Well, the ball over the top is the hardest throw to make. I mean, you don't have as big a target. Whether when you're thrown over the middle or you're thrown to the flats, you got a bigger target. You got a smaller target. It's moving faster than at any other time. You're going to make
exactly
a throw. So that's the toughest one. He's just got to get the timing down with the guys.
Well, and he's going to have to learn those windows are going to be tight. I mean, Ohio State's defense under Jim Knowles is way better than it was last year. So not to get ahead of ourselves, but he's going to have to to make those tight window throws, and he's going to have to do it against Illinois. We know that. So now is a good time to start moving the meter on that, as well as Penn State, which has a really good balanced team, a complete team, and a good defense. So now is the time, but you're right. Those are the toughest throws, and he's going to have to make them.
Tom, we are out of time here on Inside the Cave, but we want to let folks know that you are a podcaster, and I think you do your live podcasting with John Borton today. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's always Tuesdays. We'll go out to Wolverine.com, and John and I go from 5:30 to 6:15 Eastern Time, and we like interaction from our listeners, and so that would be great. And then obviously that's repurposed. You can go on demand for that on our YouTube channel, Wolverine.com. So looking forward to Michigan fans getting all lathered up and getting ready for IU.
So, Tom, real quick, is the dog going to be on the show?
No, I don't want him to steal the show. No,
okay.
All right, Tom. Hey, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll talk to you next Tuesday here on Inside the Cave. Have yourself a great day and go blue.
Always an honor to be on here with you and John, Pat. So all the best to all our listeners.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Tom. Tom Crawford from podcasting and Channel 47 out of Lansing.